We started a new series this past weekend, this past Sunday, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are talking about the Holy Spirit, the third part in the Trinity, in the Godhead, and we are speaking about being fired up by the Holy Spirit. Fired up by the Holy Spirit, a case for the Holy Spirit. And this morning we are continuing on that series. I don't know if you've ever felt that there are people who seem to have been born with special abilities. You know, we use terms like, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Have you heard people saying that? Like, don't talk to him. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Why? Because they seem to have it together, you know. You go to varsity, you go to college, they're driving a City Golf. We used to call City Golf student cards because almost every student had a City Golf back in the days. You know, you look at somebody and you think, wow, there's really something special about them. Because whatever they get to do, it works. Well, seemingly, it seems like it works. But one of the things that I've realized, there are a lot of people who fake it, okay? They fake it until they make it. That's what they say, but I don't believe in that statement. You don't fake it until you make it. You work it out until you make it, okay? But so many people fake it, so they buy certain clothes for them to portray a certain picture that they are not really are. So don't be moved so many times by how people look, because deep down, there might be so much rot going on. But anyway, we look at certain people and we tend to think there's something very special about them. And yes, I must say, there are people who really have it together. There are people who've got something special. If you talk about a business person who is running a successful business, there must be something special about them. There must be something special that they're doing that is working for them, isn't it? If you think about a marriage, you look at a marriage, husband, wife, family, they're doing great. It's hard work, okay? So many times we look over the walls and we admire the green lawns and say, don't focus on other people's green lawns. Work on your own lawn and it will become green, okay? Work on your own self and you will become right. Now, when you look at people who have made it, who are really hitting the notes, there is a danger for you to start feeling inferior. You start feeling, maybe I'll never make it. Maybe it is just made for them. Maybe it is just them. They're a special breed of people. I'm just meant to struggle and just barely make it in life. You can easily get discouraged. But this morning, I want you and I to have a shift. Hallelujah. You and I need to have a shift around the way we view ourselves. Come on, I'll talk to your neighbor and say, get a shift. Come on now, talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Say to them, get a shift. Yeah. They need to get a shift in their minds, in the way they view themselves. You've got to shift the way you think, because if you don't change the way you think, the outside will never change. Because your outside is a reflection of what goes on between these two ears. The way you think about yourself, you bring about over time. What you think about, you bring about. Okay, let me just go slowly. What you think about, you bring about. Hallelujah. That is what you will produce, because you are feeding yourself with that kind of product. But it's time for a shift. Do you know that you don't need a permission from anybody to feel special? So many times we wait for people to affirm us, to say, you are special. There's something special about you, as if we are waiting for permission from that person for us to become special. You don't need a permission from me. Yes, I can affirm you. Yes, I can encourage you. But in the absence of that sort of encouragement, are you going to stop from being special? I know, as daughters love the affirmation. Sons need affirmation at some point in their lives. If they don't get it, they'll go another in another tangent. But in the absence of a father and a mother who has affirmed you, you don't need permission from nobody. Why? Because when God created you, He created you special anyway. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. You are a special breed. But it's all in the mind. Like I tell my kids all the time, it's all in your mind. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. I'm saying to you, get a shift. Why? Because God made you special. God made you unique. You are not the same as any other person here on earth. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation. When I read that statement that you are a chosen generation, do you know that you are chosen either because of one of these two things? You are chosen either because you are already special, because they want you because you are special, or you are chosen because they looked at you and they said, we can help you to become special. Did you hear that? Yeah. There are two ways why people choose you. It's either there's already something special about you, or they want to make you special. They want to add value to you. And guess what? That is the story of every believer this morning. When Jesus looked at you, He said, I want to make you special. He chose you and He made you His own. When you were not known, when you were nobody, Jesus said, I want to make you into somebody. And that makes you and I special. Glory be to God. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That is why I say to you, Mama, my brother, my sister, you don't need a permission from nobody for you to walk special. Because Jesus said, you are a special people of His own. And this morning, if maybe this is the only reason why you came to church, maybe you were told yesterday that you're good for nothing. Maybe your boss went so hard on you and you felt so downtrodden, you felt good for nothing. Jesus is saying to you, you are His own special breed. Glory be to God. Maybe you grew up being told by your dad that you'll never amount to anything. Or maybe you had an abusive husband at some point. Or maybe right now your own husband or your own wife abuses you. That should not change the value that you carry. Glory be to God. Jesus says you are His own special people. Now, having said all that as an intro, the title of my message this morning is Fired Up for the Extraordinary. Fired up for the extraordinary. You see, God wants to move you from a place of ordinary to a place of being extraordinary. Glory be to God. Now, when you look at that word or that term, extraordinary, what is the difference between something that is ordinary and something that is extraordinary? What is the difference? The difference is that small word, extra. That is a difference. I don't know, maybe you're thinking like, what's the difference? No, the difference is that small word, extra. It is the little thing that you add onto ordinary that changes the definition of that word. It is that thing called extra. Whatever you add to your life will determine whether it is value-adding or it is value-subtracting. Glory be to God. It's not every extra that you bring in your life that will change the outworking of your life. Because there are certain people that will never add value in your life. And it is time for you to scratch them out. Unfriend them from Facebook. Block them on WhatsApp. Why? Because whenever they get in touch with you, they make you more ordinary. Yeah, I remember when I relocated some years back, I had to go through my Facebook and unfriended certain people. It was time for me to move to my next level of life because they were not adding value to my life. Do you know that there are certain people that are on your profile, those who've got Facebook? And whenever you go to their profile, something rises up within you that is unholy. But you still go to their profile. You still see their updates. You know, with WhatsApp status these days, you go to their status and you're like, why are you going there in the first place? We do it. I knows you. Because we check out people that we don't like. And then you get offended in the process. Why are you going there? Why are you abusing yourself? Scratch them out. Hallelujah. Extraordinary. It's the extra that you add. So let's be careful what we add in our lives. Let's be careful what we allow to come into our lives. Because it's either it really becomes an extraordinary life or you become more ordinary every time you are in contact with that situation. There are certain attitudes that we should pick up, people of God. Because those attitudes will change us from being ordinary to being extraordinary. Think about an attitude that says, greater is he who is in me than he that is outside. You walk into your office, you walk into your workplace, you've got this confidence, irregardless of what's happening around you. It's an attitude. Hallelujah. It's an extra that you add to your life that will make your life so unique that people cannot help it but recognize you. Why? Because you have taken up a new attitude in your life and your life becomes extraordinary. Certain habits we need to take on. Habits like running in the morning. Habits like going to the gym. Habits like cutting down some chocolates. All right? I know there are people when they see that lunch bar, the first bite doesn't stop there. You will not stop until the lunch bar is finished. I don't know if you're not like me. Sometimes when I start eating a packet of peanuts, I will not stop until it's done. It's moreish. You like going to eat more and more and more and more. Before you know it, that whole 500 gram peanut thing is gone. Where has it gone? It's a small body, but I can't get that. I don't understand that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about eating an attitude that gives you life. An attitude that says, when I pray, I know that God hears my prayer. Yes. Glory be to God. Yes. An attitude that says, even if they haven't apologized, I will still forgive them. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you're not going to wait for them to say, I'm really, really sorry for what I did. Because you are bigger than the situation. You say, I will still forgive you, though you haven't asked for forgiveness. I'll give it to you because you need it. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the extras that we should add into our lives. Come on now. The extras of saving up a little bit at the end of every month. It doesn't matter how much you're earning. You see, savings is not about the quantity. It's about the persistence, the consistency with which you do it. A million rands, it's 1 cent by a million times. All right? It's 1 rand by a million times. So it's little by little. And you'd be amazed how much you'd have accumulated in the past 12 months. Just a little extra in your life will make you extraordinary. Come on now, let's talk about these extras. Just waking up a little bit earlier in the mornings. Instead of snoozing that little thing over and over and over and over, just waking up just 15 minutes earlier changes your whole world. For once, you eat your cereals without rushing. For once, you shower without rushing. For once, you put your makeup without smudging some stuff. You know, for once, you walk relaxed to your car, to your bus stop. Why? Because you woke up 15 minutes earlier. Just an extra little thing in your life. Amen. Makes a whole lot of a difference. Amen. Are we together this morning? Amen. Now, there's an extra we need to talk about this morning. All these extras are great, but I believe the greatest extra in a child of God is walking with the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Glory be to God. When you add this person called the Holy Spirit in your life, he will even enable you to add all these little extras. Because when he comes, he helps. When he comes, there's a place where he's taking you. He will not leave you the same way he found you. Because he's the greatest extra you need in your life. Hallelujah. the extra cold, the Holy Spirit. Mm. When you add the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, the normal way of life changes. Why? Because he is the super. When you add the super to your natural, then we talk about the supernatural. We talk about the supernatural. It's no longer just natural. There is a super that has been added to the natural. Just like the ordinary, that is an extra to it. Hallelujah. You see, we see it with the life of Jesus and the life of the early church. When Jesus began his ministry, he had to add an extra in his life. And that extra changed his ministry. When the early church was being birthed, they needed an extra in their lives. And that changed the way the early churches lived their lives. When you look at the Lord Jesus, before he began his public ministry, he had an extra added to him. Glory be to God. Allah, speak to me this morning. Before Jesus began his public ministry, he had to add an extra, the Holy Spirit, in his life. If Jesus, the Son of the living God, needed the extra called the Holy Spirit, how much you and I? How much you and I? How much you in your marriage? How much you at work? You need the extra called the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't hear much about Jesus until he was imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear a little bit about Jesus at the age of 12 when he was in the temple. But after that, nothing was said much about Jesus until that moment in the River Jordan when John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of man." There Jesus came into the River Jordan. Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in that moment, the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. And the Father spoke and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Are we together this morning? Coming out of the water, he walked out. The Bible says the Spirit of God led him into the desert where he was tempted for 40 days. And 40 nights. You see, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and he's added into your life, he will lead you into certain paths that you would never ever dream of going by yourself. The Bible says the Spirit of God took him into the desert where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Come on now, when he comes upon your life, those of you who say they can't fast, the Spirit of God will enable you to fast. The Spirit of God will wake you up in the middle of the night. Why? Because there is a certain life that he brings with to a believer. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the extra. Now the Bible talks about after he overcame the devil. Do you see something here that it was in the desert that Jesus confronted the devil and he had to overcome the devil? It had to be done in privacy for him to walk victoriously in the public. If Jesus had not overcome the enemy in the desert by himself, he wasn't going to make it in the public ministry. Before you look for public victories, get private victories. All by yourself. There you are fighting your inner battles. You emerge victorious. Then you can stand here and then you'll see God working on your behalf. Now the Bible says, Jesus came out of the desert full of power, full of the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good. Go with me to Luke 4:14. The Bible says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's what? The Holy Spirit what? Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Now, this is the story. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Reports about him spread the entire region. Why? Because he was with power. He had the extra called the Holy Spirit. You see, when you got born again, you were born again out of the Spirit of God. And the very Spirit of God that resides in you wants to do great and mighty works through your life. Our problem is that we've not paid attention to the Spirit of God who resides inside of us. But the Bible says he went out in power and reports about him spread. What were the reports? Go with me to Matthew 4:23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Can I tell you something? When you carry the Holy Spirit of God, when you walk with the Holy Spirit of God, you can't help it but serve. If you are not serving, I'm not saying you're not carrying the Spirit of God. I'm just saying that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we are in His house and we are attached to His family, we can't help it but ask, what would you want me to do? The Bible says there, the Lord Jesus went about doing good. He was preaching, teaching in synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. News about Him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to Him all who were sick. Why? There was an extra over His life. He engaged the Spirit of God. You see, as we unpack this issue of the extraordinary. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, He healed them all. Large crowds followed Him wherever He went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. People were flocking. They could not ignore what was happening in the life of Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was at work in His life. I'm believing God for believers and for a church where the Spirit of God is active. Glory be to God. Where the Spirit of God is at work and people around us cannot help it but say, what is happening here? Like what was happening this morning, so charged in the presence of God. When sinners walk into that environment, they get convicted. Why? Because the Spirit of God is present. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Jesus went about healing the sick. When you go to Acts 10:38, it's not there. Peter was busy preaching to Cornelius and the people in the house of Cornelius. And he spoke about Jesus. And he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing the sick, setting free the bound. For God was with him. Amen. He was talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Can you see that he does not say how God anointed Christ? He was talking about Jesus, the man. Jesus who was devoid of power without the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible says how God anointed Jesus with power and the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good. You and I are devoid of power without the Holy Spirit. We need Him in our lives. When the Spirit of God comes, we receive the ability to heal the sick. That is why we talk about the priesthood of believers. That you and I, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have faith in the Word of God. We should believe God for healings around us. At work, in our businesses, we should believe God for miraculous things. You see, Mark 16 talks about it. Jesus was talking to his disciples as he was about to depart. And he says something very powerful here. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll speak in different languages. In my name, they'll lay hands upon the sick. You know, they will eat poisonous things. They will not be hurt by any means. He's talking about those who believe, because when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now he says here, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Now, who are those who believe? Do you believe this morning? Are you a believer this morning? If you are a believer, you qualify into that scripture. But you know what we have done? We have relegated that to the MOGs, to the men of God, to the women of God, and then we have exalted these men above their pay grades. Huh? Above where they should be. And yet the Bible says to everyone who believes, you and I, you are included this morning. It doesn't matter even if you gave your life a few weeks ago, you are a believer, you should step out in faith. And you should expect results. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus goes on to say something very profound in John 14, 12. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Everyone who believes will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works. Why? Because I am going to the Father. I don't know what's your understanding of this scripture. When Jesus says, the works that I have done, greater works will you do. It was not even to minimize the great works that Jesus was doing. But what Jesus was simply saying to his disciples was that, me as Jesus, I can only do so much. I have done a little bit of miracles there. I've raised Lazarus from the dead. That one was healed from leprosy. That one who had an issue of blood was healed. I raised that young girl from the dead. I healed that boy who was demon possessed. You have seen this. I can only do so much. But when you walk in the Spirit, when there are more of you, you do greater works. He was talking about the reach of the power of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the extent of the activities of Jesus. You see, Jesus could only do a couple of miracles because it was just him. But when we are born again, when more and more of us receive Jesus, we are able to do greater and more activities of the same nature. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I don't know if you hear me this morning. He was saying, I have raised up a few people, maybe 5, 6. But when there are more people who are filled with the Spirit of God, there will be more people being raised from the dead. Amen. Why? Because the power of God will be found in so many of you, not just localized in Jesus. Amen. That is why he said here, greater works than these will you do. Hallelujah. I don't know how many more people have been raised from the dead since Jesus departed. I would imagine quite a number. The Bible talks about how on the day of Pentecost, how 3,000 people came to Jesus. When you look at the number of people who came to Jesus during the times of Jesus walking on earth, already greater works were done when church was birthed. Why? A mega church was birthed in one occasion. Greater works than these will you do. Do you believe it? He says here, the reason why you'll be able to do greater works, it is because I am going to my Father. What is he doing at the Father's side? He is seated on the right-hand side of God, interceding for you. Whenever you're saying, today, Lord, I'm believing you for miracles. I'm believing you for healings. I'm believing you for salvation. What Jesus does, he starts talking to the Father. And says, remember him. He is on a mission today. Anoint him. Give him the power. Give him the revelation that he needs. He intercedes for you and I to be able to do greater works. Are we together this morning? And he says, not only am I interceding for you, but I'm going to send the helper, the paracletus, the one who runs by your side, the one who walks with you, the one who will be inside of you. Then you do greater works. Greater works than these will you do. Extra. I'm talking about the extra. The Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about king size, eh? King size beds. Extra large. XXX large. But hey, the extra of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how to position him. But when he comes into our lives, he takes over. You see, it's either I'm in control or he is in control. Glory be to God. When we allow him to be in control, then the greater works will become a possibility in our lives. Amen. Now, after Jesus departed, he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the extra. He sent the one who runs by our side. You see, the Holy Spirit is called the helper. Now, if you have a helper, do you know that you might have a helper that you are not benefiting from? You have, you know, those of you who are in the upper echelons of work, maybe you have a PA, you know, a personal assistant. She's there or he's there to help you out with your document controls, making calls, to plan your diaries, your appointments. But you know what? If you don't allocate him those responsibilities, you'll continue running a chaotic schedule, irregardless of the fact that you've got a personal helper. Irregardless of the fact that there's a personal assistant who is highly clued, the reason why he was brought as your PA, it is because he is skilled, he has an expertise in helping you. But you can ignore him or ignore her. That's exactly the same thing that happens with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when they talk about the Paracletos, he says the one who runs alongside you to help you. The one who runs alongside you to assist you. So right now you've been running with this helper, but you haven't been soliciting help from them, from him. And he's watching like, I can help you. That's why I'm here. Those of you who are married, the Bible talks about a helper meet for you. That's your wife, Brother Monroe. A helper meet for you. Sometimes a helper who is meet for you might come out like an irritant because they do have a lot to offer. If you don't allow them to help you, there can be chaos in that house. The Bible calls them a helper meet for you. When you are open to their help, it will change your life altogether. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. A helper meet for us. Now, look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now we've spoken about Jesus who encountered the extra and his life was totally changed. Now we're talking about the early church. When the early church was birthed, they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Take note, on each of them. The Holy Spirit settled on the ladies who were there. The Holy Spirit settled on the young men who were there, the old and the young. So when it comes to the activities of the Holy Spirit, he does not look at gender. Hello, somebody. He does not look at your qualifications. He says here, on each one of them, there was seen a flame as of fire on top of all of them. This morning, I believe in ministry that comes from ladies. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he doesn't say, excuse me, you're a lady, I can't use you that way. No, he doesn't do that. Every child of God receives an enablement of the Spirit of God, irregardless of gender. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Imagine walking out of here and you are speaking French, you are non-French speaking, and there are Congolese out there and they hear you speaking in French, glorifying God. Imagine walking out of this place, you start greeting Zimbos out there in Shona, but you don't even know Shona, and you say, Mwariwa katendeka, Mwariwa ninyasha. I'm speaking in tongues. That's a tongue of man right there. What am I saying? I'm talking about an enablement that comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. Something special happened here. We need to anchor what's happened in the Bible to our realities and say, how would it look like today? It would be in a moment like this where the Holy Ghost comes and breathes life on us and you walk out there. You're not even Afrikaans. You start speaking to people in pure Afrikaans. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? That's a miracle that happened because they heard them. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. You'd get all sorts of expressions. You know our South African expression? Ish! Yo, 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 yo. Because they're like, how is this possible? This is what they were doing, these people. I don't know what expression they were using, but they were expressing. Some would say, my bubble. Right? They were completely amazed. That's another tongue. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, these people are all from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Can the church get back to that place of power? Can the church get back to that place where we are able to be so relevant? Like we hit it on the nail when you minister to people as if you were there when stuff was happening in their lives. This is the picture that we see. But there was so much noise in that place that people could not ignore what was happening. When the extra called the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, people cannot help it but pay attention. The Bible says here, they ran towards that area. They were bewildered. There was a noise. There was something out of the ordinary. It was extraordinary. Glory be to God. Now listen to me. It is impossible to remain anonymous when the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you. It's impossible to remain behind the scenes. The Holy Spirit will draw you out. Why? Because His mission is to glorify the Father. His mission is to glorify the Son. So He will start doing things in your life that even your neighbors cannot ignore you. They will say, we just sense something about you. Why? Because He is called the Helper and He glorifies the Father. It is impossible to remain silent, to remain anonymous, unnoticed when the Holy Spirit is upon a church. It is impossible for this church to remain anonymous if the power of the Holy Spirit is in our midst. Why? Because you people will be going out there and say, you need to come and see what's happening in our church. You need to come and experience the presence of God. We don't sell water here. We don't sell oils. We don't get people eat trees. No, that's not what we're calling people to come and experience. We're calling people to come and experience in one-on-one encounter with the Holy Spirit, where somebody has a testimony in their hearts that I met with God this morning. Amen. That is what changes lives. Amen. Not people eating grass. Let's leave it there. Now, one of the first things that happened when the extra came, when the Holy Spirit came, I want you to take note. It wasn't the laying on of hands. It wasn't the casting out of demons. No. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in a different language. Glory be to God. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, the first port of call was to redeem this thing called the tongue. Because if you cannot control your tongue, you are not ready to be used by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wants to take over your tongue because the power of life and death is in your tongue. That is why when He came, He took over their tongues. They lost control of their tongues and they were able to speak the wonders of God. Now, you and I need the Holy Spirit to come and take over. The Holy Spirit wants to use your tongue to glorify and to declare the Lord Jesus among the nations. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And guess what? He wants to do it through your tongue. So He takes over your tongue so that He can use your tongue. When you go to James, he talks about the tongue. And he says, man can control everything, literally everything. Man can control mules, donkeys. Men can control big ships. Men can control everything but the tongue. He says, with the same tongue we curse God. With the same tongue we curse the people that God has created. But at the same time we want to come and glorify God. How can it be? He says, you are mature if your tongue is under control. If you want to look at maturity in my life, listen to what I say. I can act all mature, but my tongue will betray me. You can hide all you want, but before you know it, your tongue will betray you. The tongue will expose the state of your heart. Amen. From the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came and took over their mouths and they started declaring the Lord Jesus, the wonders of God. Mm. Now, the disciples were able to miraculously declare the word of God in different tongues, in different languages. Now, what this means to me is this. When you have the extra called the Holy Spirit, He will enable you to share the love of God in a way that is relevant to the people. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, you are able to relevantly meet the needs of the people. That is why we talk about reaching people, sharing the gospel, acts of kindness. And when you do that, out of the unction of the Holy Spirit, you will be very accurate in what you do. You won't need to put in too much effort. You won't need to manipulate people. Why? People will see it, that this cannot be His own doing. This must be God. This must be God. Do you hear me this morning? Now, slowly as we get closer to finishing, something profound just gripped my heart when I was reading this. I came to realize that the church was birthed in an atmosphere of diversity. The church was birthed in an atmosphere of diversity. Why? God was saying the gospel is not only for you Jews. The gospel is for the Greeks, the Italians, the Romans, all of these people, they need to hear the gospel. I'm going to make you speak their language. Do you know how unique that was? The Jews were brought up in an environment that said they were the pure breed and everybody else is a pagan. Everybody else does not deserve to hear the word of God. And yet God decided to use their very tongue to glorify God in a foreign language, the very language they were disputing all along. The very people they were saying the Samaritans are the scum of the society. Why? Because they were impure. But God allowed their tongues to speak the language they looked down upon. The church was birthed in a place of diversity. That is why I believe with all my heart that the desire of God for this church is for us to become a diverse church. Glory be to God. We are going to be a church, or we are a church where the rich people feel comfortable to be part of. Where the poor people feel welcome to be part of. Where the young people, the old, the single, the married, they're able to come into this place and create a heaven on earth. Glory be to God. That's the heart of the church. The church was birthed in diversity. I don't believe in a monolithic church or homogeneous church where you look left, they all talk like me, they smell like me. No, be you. Hello, somebody. I know in places where people start dressing up like their pastors. They change their hairstyles to suit the pastor. No. Well, they can do it if they want. But all I'm saying here is be yourself. Hello, somebody. Sisonke, ne? Be yourself. Be the best version of yourself. You can never be a best copy of the origin. The original, never. No matter how good that photocopying machine is, it can never produce an original copy. Be yourself this morning. So I believe in diversity. I refuse to be called that black church, that white church. No, we are the church of Christ. Glory be to God. Or to be called a foreign church. The church for the Makwere Kweres. No, we're a church of the living God. That is why when people come into this church, who are we to make them feel uncomfortable? Because of the way they look, because of the way they talk. Okay, I'm just passionate about that. All right, so the church was birthed in an atmosphere of diversity, and we must have that DNA as a church. Now, everyone's attention was drawn. They were all confused and they ran towards this upper room area wanting to understand what was happening. And some of them uttered some very foolish things and said, "Oh man, these guys are drunk. These guys are drunk. They've been drinking." And Peter stands up and said, No. They can't be drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. It's too early for that kind of business." I don't even know who told them that when you're drunk, you speak in another language that you don't know. That is utter foolishness. Sometimes if you don't know stuff, don't speak. You see, if you don't speak, no one knows that you're foolish. But when you start speaking, we see how shallow you are.
Hello, somebody.
You see, when somebody is quiet in their corner there, they are protecting themselves. You will not be able to say he's a fool. But when they start speaking things, then you start knowing that that head is empty. Okay. But I mean, these guys were saying, well, these guys are drunk. Oh, so when somebody's drunk, they speak in Sesotho. I don't know. I can't get that. It just goes beyond me. So sometimes guard yourself. Don't speak a lot. Just keep quiet. Okay? Let those who know stuff speak. Now, Acts 2:14. Now, the Holy Spirit was about to do something powerful. Now, I want you to see something very important here. The Holy Ghost was about to do something extraordinary, but he could not do it until somebody stepped up. Until somebody stepped out of their comfort zone. Look at Acts 3:14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Now, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Though the Spirit of God was present to do great and mighty things, the Spirit of God cannot operate like a spirit because he is illegally doing that. The Spirit of God looks for a body to inhabit. That is why the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Peter had to step out of his comfort zone. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, "That's all I wanted. I just wanted somebody who could stand up for me. I wanted somebody who could just borrow me or lend me his mouth." That's proper English, not borrow me, no, lend me, okay? He was waiting for somebody to lend him his body as an instrument of righteousness. And Peter stood and he started declaring things. He started speaking things. Now listen to me. In order to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to be available and willing to be used by him. The reason why there hasn't been activities of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it is because we are not available. We are afraid to be ridiculed. We are afraid to be looked at strange. But the Holy Spirit is saying, "Can I just use you? Can I just use your hands to touch this life? Can I use your mouth to bless this person? Can I use your feet to walk to that place and bless them and pray for their well-being?" But we're saying, "It's weekend. It's time for me to chillax." But the Holy Ghost is saying, "I need to use you." Peter stepped out, and when he stepped out, what came out even shocked him. Because we're talking about the same Peter who was very naive. The same Peter was only interested in saving his own skin. You remember when those people came and said, "You were with Jesus. You were with Jesus." And Peter says, "No, I don't know him." He was afraid to die with Jesus. He was saving his own skin, running away from what God had called him to do. But in that moment when he stepped out of his comfort zone, the Holy Spirit took over and he spoke with boldness. He spoke with conviction and things were not the same again. When you step out, you'll be amazed by what the Holy Spirit will do through you. Glory be to God. Now let's see what happened here. In Acts 2:37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they say to him and to the other apostles, brothers, we've heard you. This is so hard for us to contain. What shall we do?" That is what happens when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When we partner with the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And they say they were pierced in their hearts, like some of you are being pierced in your hearts right now. "It's not me, it's the power of the Holy Spirit to convict us of righteousness and of judgment." And they said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and turn away from your sins and be baptized." And then the Bible says, in verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. A mega church was birthed. Can it happen in our day today? Can it happen in our day today that we go into a community as we are about to do, that the community would be so open to conversing. The community would say, want to come and see what God is doing. That happens when we partner with the Holy Spirit. So as you go out today, you pick up a sheet, you pick up 5, 10. I want you to pray over them and say, Lord, if you can use just this tool, Lord, to touch a family, to touch a community, Lord, we ask you to do it through us in this moment. And then 3,000 will come. What are we going to do with 3,000? We'll pitch a tent somewhere there. I don't know where we're going to do it. But let them come. We'll make a plan when they come. Glory be to God. I'm really excited about this. Next week, you've got a big question. The big question is, why? Why is this not happening in our days? It's about disposition. I won't preach next week, but the following week, I want to zero in on the big question. Why is this thing not happening in our days? Why is it so scarce? Why are people prefabricating miracles? Is it not possible to just count on the power of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do what He wants to do? Hello, somebody. We're going to deal with that because I believe the church needs to shift in order to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. Let's turn on our feet. I know that in my preaching today, I did not really cover the how. You see, when you're preaching, you need to talk about the what, the why, and the how. So I've spoken about the what, the why we need the Holy Spirit, but I haven't covered the how. How do we get into that space of experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit? And it was intentionally to get you back here. To get you back to understand, how is it possible for us to tap into the glory of God? But this morning, I want you to pray and say, Lord, if you can use me, use me. I want you to say to the Lord, I open up my heart to you. I need you in my life. I want to walk with you. Let's pray. Oh, yes, Lord.